It's time for Wisdom on Replay with Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim. Wisdom on Replay is brought to you by Levy Steel, the Candywood Wine Cellar, and Cafe 422. Here's your host, Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim.
We're back again. Wisdom on Replay, Nostra Thomas and Coach Jimmy D.
What's up, Big Tom?
Happy to see you, bro. But you know what's funny is I just said the words out of my mouth after I fixed the water line. This has become the best part of the show for people. They just want to hear my next problem.
They want to hear the next calamity.
And I actually said, hey, I could use a week in between issues to my son's fiance. And it wasn't, 8 hours later? Yeah, the septic backed up into the basements, and there we go.
You see, you don't say that stuff.
I know, but I was going to be positive and say that.
Yeah.
And trust me, people, the reality show has never closed since I was maybe, 17, I think. It just keeps going. As I get older, it gets even funnier.
Well, we did have a 1 or 2 day reprieve, though.
We did.
It's good.
Of Tom Sharp happiness.
Well, I just didn't want to tell you. You know, I just left it.
You're the entertainment gift that just keeps on giving.
It just keeps on giving, but my side has become like I've hit so much I'm getting punch drunk. I don't even feel it anymore. I'm just taking the punches. Boom, boom, boom. I'm okay. But we have a special guest today. And before that, I want to thank some of our sponsors, Crusader Financial, Timmy May Jr., Sherry Gordon Boutique, Downtown Warren, Perlene Asphalt, and we'll get to the rest later. Master's Bar and Grill, right next door. I can't get him on the show. He's sick every other day. I don't believe that. He's drinking with his customers. But anyways, I have a special, very special guest today.
Living
Tony,
legend.
The legendary Tony, and I gave him this nickname, Crusher Crew. And it's so funny because I'm going to introduce you. He's a guy that he just... Yeah, he's been my friend my whole life. I mean, it's just if I talk to him for 5 minutes, I'm in a way better mood. So I want to lead in that Tony Crew played for Akron University. He also played semi-pro football, so that gives you a little idea. And he also wrestles bear to the ground as a hunter and an author. Well, he didn't like me saying author because that sounds sissy. So let's give it up for Tony Crusher Crew.
Tony, hey, how are you, buddy?
Hey, great to be on, Tom. And, you know, I was just sitting back watching Gunsmoke, and I looked at the clock, and I said, it's 10 after. I said, so I told Beth just to finish his beer and close the long branch. I got a show to do with Nostra Thomas and Coach Dan. It's going to be great.
It is, and I couldn't wait to get you on. But we've done this show before where it was more political. But, you know, people, I'm even tired of the politics side. So we're gonna stick to, you know, sports and things that are going on in the sports world. But and I kind of wanted to talk about we don't live in the same world as we once did. So the stuff we used to get away with, you know, brawling and fighting and, you know, bass smashing helmets and everything. Wait, that's just me, right? Okay.
I don't know about that. I think we all had some moments with that one.
But me and Crusher tag team so many times, I can just think back and just start laughing.
What teams did you guys play together on?
We were on the Padres, yep. And we were on the Yankees. And we were on Vienna, too, weren't we?
No. Padres, Yankees, and, you know, I'll never forget when we were on the Padres. That was the first time we were together. That was the big talk.
Oh, that's right.
These two guys.
We came together finally.
Yeah, these two guys in the same team. And the umpires, I remember, we'd go to the ballpark, and the umpires would huddle up together and goes, man, we got to deal with both Sharp and Crew today.
Yeah. Well, Larry Oho goes, I'm getting kind of old in my career. I just want to see how this plays out for a couple years, you two together.
Tell
hey,
me
how many.
Oh, go ahead.
Back,
go ahead, bud.
Back. Hey, real quick, I got to tell you this story. Hey, Jim, you may not know this, but we're with the Padres, and Tom and I, we always batted, even with the Yankees, you know, 3-4. this particular game, I was batting fourth, Tom fifth.
Right.
And we were teeing off and off this pitcher, and I think it was Sankiewicz blasted one. Cal Baker hit one over the
Oh, you had plenty of guys on that team that could swing it.
And I tomahawked one over the fence. We went back to back to back. Tom comes up, and some guy hangs a curveball.
It was Doug Stein.
And he skies it to the stars. And he's still pissed off. You got that delete button, right? You got that beep button. I'm allowed to swear, right?
No. No, not too much swearing, no.
You got that
We'll button. Just go beep when we know you're about to swear.
Tom clears the press box with his helmet. The bat goes into the stand, and he didn't get thrown out.
That was a rarity there.
He said, "Stay sharp." He said, "Simmer down. It's only the third inning. We got you'll get up again."
Oh my goodness gracious!
So where did you go to high school at?
Garrettsville.
That's right. I'm sure I remember. Now, and I think he played with us with Polivka for a week or two.
I came with Danny
a couple times when we were
playing. Oh, that's right. You did. You made an appearance, and then you went over to Tri-County. So my brother could tell me all the stories that, you know, that I didn't know about, like getting a milkshake, simple things like that that turned into a nightmare.
Penn State, that fiasco.
Hey, when did
you want to remember? You know, I look back and cringe on some.
I know.
You know what's sad, Tom? Is, and Dan, listen, I know 20 years from now, if I'm still alive, I'm going to look back and cringe on the stuff I still do. So I still need talked off the ledge.
Believe me, you're talking to the right guy.
To the ledge.
Yeah, you're talking to the guy that's tiptoed onto the ledge, where I could take a Christmas lighting a tree into, like, the whole family leaving for a couple of days, okay?
That's why we're so much alike.
But I want to talk about that as it is to today's kids and bring Jim into this conversation, because it is not the same world, okay? So as I'm umpiring, which I'm doing now, which, again, I've been thrown out of more games than anybody on the planet.
That's what makes you a good umpire.
Yeah, so now I'm thinking, boy, this was harder than I thought. But as I'm watching kids, okay, the coaches get more upset if a kid strikes out and he's mad than they do with the kid who strikes out, laughs, and who doesn't give a dang. Something turned around, because I'm watching kids with no expression. They're doing nothing for their team, and they don't care. They're worried about, you know, their mom getting something to drink and this and all this other crap. So I'm thinking somehow that changed, because when we were playing, Tony, we were how many people vying for six
highly
teams?
Emotional?
Yeah, but there was only six AA teams back. So you had everybody trying to make the team at least, and then trying to win a position. These kids don't have to win a position, so nothing matters. And Jim works with these young kids, and I try to work with them. So Jim, tell us a little bit about, because your players are doing well, and I'm going to tell you, and you could talk about Joe Campagna and what happened with him. He was a guest on our show, and I sent you his swing, Tony, that kid right there that I sent you.
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Let me ask you this, because, like I said, I mean, obviously you're close friends with Tommy. You know, we bumped into each other, and, you know, we're friends. What made you make the choice between? Because I know you played to play football or baseball.
You know, a great story, and it comes back to, you know, the character, the way we were, and it goes back to it goes back to my dad, and I know for Tom, he can speak for his dad too. You know, you didn't want to make an out. You didn't want to look bad on the field, because you knew those eyes were
You were going to get it. You were going to get it.
But no, you know, funny, when I was at Akron, I remember when I played at Akron, Jerry Fauci just got fired from Notre Dame.
Man, he came up.
I was going to play football there. That was a great time to be at Akron. Bob Huggins was coaching basketball.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Huggy Bear was there. And I, you know how many times I'd go to the coach's office and they'd be there. And I'll never forget when I made the final cut my freshman year. Bob was there. When I looked, they had it listed, posted, you know. And, you know, he had that gravel voice. I see you made it. Frosh, he called me. He either called me Frosh or Horse. He said, "But remember, the fall's still open." You know, called my dad. And I said, Dad, I'm thinking about playing two sport. You know, if I can make it, I would, probably wouldn't make the team, but, you know, Division I football, you know, it's just tough. But my dad said, listen, think real hard because I think you're doing it for the wrong reason. And I did, and I stuck with baseball, and it was the best decision.
Well, you had a good speed, plus you had good size. I mean, you know, for the football. I mean,
you were Brian Giles. That's what I when we were younger. That's what I would look at Brian Giles, and you were who I thought of all the time because you were that guy.
Yeah, Giles. Yeah, except I was from the fork side. I was left-handed hitter. Yeah, the only difference.
Yep,
yeah.
Yep. And also the I would say one of the record holders for probably one of the farthest balls hit down at Packard Park. I remember watching you mash one, I think, three-quarters of the way over the softball field.
It cleared out the whole stands. And
Everybody, they called time. You know, I'll never forget that. There was a big-time softball game going on in the field behind you.
It hooked around the field.
And they stopped the game because they didn't know where the balls were coming from.
The fans were waving white flags. I'll never forget. It was off Beauchamp. You know what happened? We talked about these pitchers were quirky anyway. Guys talking to themselves and lighting fires and talking to the baseball guys. But Bosch, I'll never forget that. The farthest home run I think I ever hit down there. But I happened to look. You know, he was kind of like a screwball pitcher.
He was
junk at you.
Throw backwards.
He kept on creeping up in the front of the plate.
Yep.
And I can't remember who was catching, but I happened to peek down, and I saw him flash the fastball sign, you know, that index finger in the dirt. And I knew a fastball was coming. So I was geared up and ready, and I swung like McGill a gorilla, and I caught it. It was right in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, I remember that ball.
I caught it just right. And,
you hit a bunch of them, but do you remember the one we traveled to East Liverpool and that Smith who was drafted, I think? He threw, like, really hard.
The Braves kid.
And he threw a 2-0 fastball right around my knees. My brother was playing with us then. And I hit it, and just everybody just – I heard somebody said, oh, my God. So I got around second, and I came around third, and my brother goes, did you happen to see how far that went? I go, yeah, it's pretty good. This old guy picked it up in the parking lot, came over. I've been coming to these games for 50 years. I've never seen a ball land that far up the parking lot. It was just like the perfect pitch at the perfect time.
Oh, dude, when you're batting third, I was on deck. It was just like a
back-to-back homers.
It was like a wiffle ball game. So how old were you when you quit, when you stopped playing Double A?
You talking to me, Jim?
Yeah. How old were you?
Oh, man, what did I do? I actually retired, left, and then I came back for another year.
Yeah, you were like
with us.
You were like Nicky Dragas. You guys would keep
you
coming
came
back.
Back with me. When Caruso took over the Yankees.
Yes.
Because the Padres quit because John got a girlfriend and he didn't have any interest. Mark, you know, we had to drag him to the games, even though he got drafted by the Red Sox. But we only had one pitcher. If you remember, we were winning games 15-12, 16-13. We only had, what's his name from Newton Falls?
Marcheski.
Joe Sikora.
Yeah, Joe Sikora. That's all we had.
Yeah, he pitched with Dravecki for the Giants.
Yeah.
And if he wasn't pitching, we were clubbing it out 15-14.
It's like a slow pitch game.
We had 9 DHs out on the field.
Yeah, kind of. Kind of.
I ran into a guy played down at Canton League, and he knew some guy that played. They had played us. We were with the Padres then, and he asked me, he said, hey, man, how'd you guys do? He said, yeah, we won. He said, but let me tell you something. That was a team full of studs. He goes, every guy had.
Well, there's nobody small on that team.
Iron arms, and, you know, swinging caveman clubs for the fences. He said, man, we were just glad to get out of there. Those guys might want to brawl and fight.
Yeah, we had Yoho screaming at Sankiewicz. I come to third base. I heard the coach of the other team goes, just shut your mouth and don't say anything to this team.
What'd you say to that fan? You hit a bullet.
Oh, wait. This is the NABF against West Virginia. Remember, we were playing all day long. I hit a meteor that didn't get 10 feet off the ground. The left fielder snagged it. I didn't even get out of the box. I'm out. Somebody on the other team goes, that was a can of corn. I go, the guy that can't break the lineup is going to talk crap to me? I go, when you finally get in the game, then you could say something to me. And I went and sat there. Even the umpire was laughing.
You guys were legendary for going back and forth. Tony,
I'm talking about the time you got a hit and you were on first base and you slammed your helmet, and that fan after the game said, I've never seen a guy so mad about getting hit. He said, listen, buddy, I'm 6'4", 235. Don't come to the ballpark to hit singles.
Grounders up the middle. I go, are you kidding me? I'm 33 years old. Really?
I remember a couple of those. Tommy, you'd use that once in a while on somebody great, but I'm not here to bunt or
hit ground balls up the middle. But listen, Tony, here's the one thing I want to say. And here's the thing. I got a couple of things. Don't look at somebody's first chapter and already think, well, these people are. You've become one of the best dads on Facebook. You know, the things that you do with the kids and what a grandpa you've become and a good husband. And look, it's just, if you looked at us back then, these guys ain't even going to make it through their 30s, let alone have a family and do. So it's like one of those things where I always talk about that. Yeah, Crusher was crazy, but he's also one of the best dudes I know.
Thank you. It means a lot, man. It does. I'm at a great time in my life. Never been happier. It's beautiful. You know, things change. You know, you just realize the older you get, it's not about you. You know, it's about the people around you.
That's true. And you know what? Here's the thing I heard I thought was so good, because I was sick for a couple of weeks. All of a sudden, nothing. Healthy people have 1,000 wants a day. Sick people have one.
Get better.
Feel better.
Yeah. Yep.
So what are you doing now? You playing? I'm still playing a bunch of. I was playing softball. Didn't even know when I was up. I just came up. They moved 9 guys to left field, and I either hit it over the fence or I was out. But I know you are still golfing, still hunting. Are you still writing books?
Yeah. What else are you still doing?
I'm still writing for Sporting Classics. I spit out a few stories here and there. And great news with the magazine. We just got a new editor in chief, Skip Knowles. So I'm excited to be working with this guy. And so things are going good. I don't, as far as sports, I do get out and golf in my uncle's outing here maybe twice a year. But I don't even do that, man. I do, obviously, I'm hunting all the time. That's kind of my new passion. But, I don't even really watch sports anymore. Don't watch the NBA.
I never watch the NBA.
No, I get too political. I just,
unless I bet something, I don't watch
it. Myself now, I just kind of go out there and do my thing.
I was playing tennis. Listen, I actually played tennis, then go play basketball after tennis. It just running myself ragged. I mean, I was playing everything, and I thought, wait a minute. My dad said, you're supposed to be hanging this stuff up and get busy with your kids. And Vince became Trumbull County Player of the Year. My son Tommy's a head coach at Jackson Milton. So, I told them, everything you saw me do, don't do. This is a different world. Because coaches and parents now get on somebody, there's no way out, man. They just blackball you for, you don't get away with the stuff that I used to get away with.
No, and you see, that's the difference, I think. Is you're almost told not to be intense, not to hustle, not to be aggressive.
Don't get too excited. They told Tommy hit a basket to win the game at this, what's it called, that church kind of thing, league. And he jumped up in my arms. I was, hey, come on, don't get too excited. We don't want the other kids to feel, oh, for the love of God, be quiet.
You see a lot of that, and because people have never... you would sit and say the intensity, you, Tommy, me, obviously I wasn't probably as demonstrative as you two guys. There's probably some moments.
Yeah, but you do it now.
I'm backwards.
Teaching the kids. He's teaching these kids.
Yeah, now it's backwards. I'm yelling and screaming. And one of the things that I always, with Tony, I always remember was great athlete, big dude, could move, run. There wasn't anything too much he couldn't do.
Mumble the whole time he's batting.
Oh, yeah. I remember that a little bit. But I remember You know, I saw when I watched the movie Moneyball and I read the book, and they were talking about Billy Beane when Billy Beane would lose his temper. They said how legendary it was that guys would come down from the bullpen to watch him clear the dugout. And I'll be honest with you, T. That's when I saw it in the movie, watched him clear dugout, I go, oh, that's crew all day.
Well, we tag team a guy in the same game.
When you guys would have a bad day,
yeah,
look out.
How about, hey, get him next time, Tom. What did you just say to me? Or walk's as good as a hit. In what game is that?
Right. Yeah, I had to pull you out of the stand. What time you're going after a
There's
fan.
A couple times, though, yeah.
Oh, hey,
our battles with umpires are legendary. And this was before Tom's brawl with the umpire. And you guys
set the standard.
Other dugout. But real quick story about an umpire. I can't remember his name. But Adam, I knew I just wasn't seeing the ball, right? It was my first at-bat. I knew it's not going to be a good day at the ballpark. So Somehow, I worked the count the full, and the pitcher just grooved one right down Broadway. What do? I look at it, and I'm just waiting to get rung up. And he says, ball four. I go to first base, and I'm laughing. I thought, I can't believe it. He put it right in my wheel off. I said, I crush it over the fence. I get back to the dugout, and I said, yeah, boys. I said, the ump's got a tight strike zone today, and I think it was you and Yoho did. Now, he just saw the mood you were in and was afraid to ring you up.
Well, what about when we got into my mom came down, you got in a fight on the field, you threw the umpire into the dugout? I mean, can you even imagine something like that? We'd have the
Can't
police
do it today.
Down
you guys
there.
Bet you guys would have got arrested. You guys would have got arrested.
Yeah, we never got thrown out. We never got the, we got a
nobody,
warrant.
Yeah, nobody was going to do that.
I got reinstated after three games, and then I got in a fight with a coyote in the middle of our game in front of my grandpa, everybody in my family.
Now, kids, parents and kids today, you'd never. And
not no that, way.
And we're not endorsing this, folks. I mean, like I said, but it was just.
No, that's what I'm saying.
It was a different era of intensity, everything like that. You know, we didn't. They're pointing out the times where they get a laugh out of it. They were great ball players too. Don't let make it
yeah,
seem
it's
like
the
every
stuff that
every
people
single,
remember
yeah,
the most.
Make, yeah,
just,
every day they yeah. weren't getting in fights and getting thrown out by umpires every single game.
No, but it's legendary when they did.
But over the course of 8-10 years when we were all playing,
lots of years,
there were some colorful ones, definitely.
Lots of good times, and I'll never forget. I opened the door, and who's standing there? Crusher with a case of Colder's 29, going ready to go.
Yeah, you guys always coughing. Tony, what do you think? Where did your motivation to be such a great athlete come from? I mean, obviously there was a love of the sports and everything else, but what do you think was the turning point that made you? Because, like I said, when we go down into histories, Double A and things like that. Obviously, there's Cal Bakers, there was Tommy. You know, I was a good player. I wasn't you guys. Obviously, I went on and played in college, but. You know, there were so many guys that Nicky Dragish that were, you know.
Wait, what did it come easy when you were young, or you know?
No, it really didn't.
It didn't for me either.
I was a late bloomer too.
Yeah,
know,
me
really
too.
That big, it's a good question, Jim, because it started with my surroundings. My dad.
Environment. Tell me, say the word environment, player. And I'm gonna jump to the roof.
Yeah, love baseball. Would take me to the old Municipal Stadium, and he would always tell me, this guy bats left-handed, you know, bat like him. Watch what he does. He ingrained that in me. And my uncles on my mom's side, all great athletes, great football players, and great baseball players. And so I was around that. I was always around, sports and that competitive fire. My dad was, you know, he was always kind of ingraining that in me, you know. Unlike today, it's like, win at all costs and do your best and don't embarrass me. Don't embarrass yourself. I felt like I had stuff to prove, but it was that competitive fire.
Yeah. And you don't say that's the thing is people almost discourage that anymore.
Yeah,
that's,
it's not.
That's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on because, like I said, and back then, you know, there's just you don't see kids like you and Tommy played the game. Or I played the game, and that's what we're trying to reinstill. When you get a chance,
and
you're gonna
do
have to
you
want to
do it do you want to put in the work to get there? That's the thing that they're missing. Look, I was sitting the bench on my dad's friend's team when I was 7 years old. So, I mean, I didn't get any. I sat the bench. That's it. See, now they don't have that. How bad do you want it? Do you really want to be good? You know what it takes? It takes a lot of time. While everybody else is swimming and doing their thing, you're out in the field, dust blowing in your eyes, your dad throwing balls at you. But I wanted to be good, so I went through it.
You know, great, real quick story. I was in college, and my freshman year, and we had made the – we flew to Florida. We played like Georgia Tech, Jacksonville teams down there. And I had a few starts, but I think I was like 1 for 12. It was terrible. And I remember we landed in Akron, got off the plane, and I remember the first thing I did was call my dad. Of course, we used a pay phone. We didn't have cell phones then, but call my dad. He said, how'd it go? I said, it wasn't good. You know, I wasn't hitting the ball. I said, I don't think I'll get another chance to get in the lineup. And that was kind of like one sympathy, you know. And he said, you want to get in the lineup? He said, make it happen.
Yeah.
He said, it's not up to your coach. It's up to you.
Yes.
And I'll never forget this. It was about 2 weeks later. I went to the ballpark early, and coach always put the lineup, taped it in the dugout. He would do it early, you know, so you knew if you were playing or not. Pitchers always knew they're in the rotation. But
Tony, who'd you have? Who was your head coach at Akron?
I saw I was in the lineup, and I'll never forget. I hauled tail to the clubhouse, and I called my dad, and I said, "Hey, Dad," I said, "I'm in the starting lineup." He said, "All right," he just got off work. "All right," he said, "Playing at home, Lee Jackson Field, game time." I said, "Yeah, 6 o'clock." He said, "All right." Sure enough, I'm out in the right field. I look over, and there he is in the stands. It's just like, you know, yeah. You know, it's just that those unspoken words. It's,
yeah, which I got a lot of unspoken words, like no nice hit, nothing. You should have had that ball up the middle after I just hit two home runs. So, yeah. Hey, we gotta get rolling. We could have talked. We're going to have you back. We're going to have them back.
Absolutely.
Because we got
Oh, hey, got Jim, Tom, thank you for having me.
No, thanks for being on.
And, you know, we could get into all the stories. You guys bounced off the air. But I want to come back, and let's do it again. I'll be in studio this time.
Absolutely.
And, that's good. That'd be best.
Because we got the alpha males. We'll get the alpha males all together.
There you
go. And we got to get a picture together in the studio and put it up. Yeah, there's a lot we need to do next time. But thanks, Crusher.
Hey,
love you, man.
Tony, great talking to you, man. Thank you.
Hey, love you guys. Thank you.
Thanks,
man.
Brother.
All right, brother.
Love your show, too.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that.
Thanks a lot, bro.
All right, fellas.
Thanks.
So, hey, on a quick note, I wanted to jump in before we got going. I know we got a few minutes left. All the regards in the world to our guest, previous guest, Mr. Joe Campagna, for you that follow what we do and what we have going on.
Way to go, Coach.
Joe was signed by the Detroit Tigers a little under a week ago and is getting sent to AAA.
Awesome.
Huge story, straight out of Rudy. If you had listened to him when he was here, when you do the right things and work the right way.
And you stuck with him all that. And
yep, he's been with us a long time.
That's a huge part of it, Jimmy.
He called me. He sent me a picture of a Detroit Tigers emblem. I go, what's that? And I didn't know, you know, I knew it was the Tigers, but he goes, I'm going. And I called him. He thanked me. I told him I loved him. Great kid. Great family.
Great kid.
And, I mean, he's one step away from the big leagues now.
Yeah, so, and he was in here going, I don't know. You don't give up on that dream.
Never gave up.
And you never gave up on him.
No, because he
still
could play.
Still encouraged him through.
Gave him some insight. But that, like I said, you don't know. I used to do the old tulip story real quick. You know, you're sitting, lady sitting there with her garden. The tulips didn't come up yet. She gets all ticked off, and she's asking her gardener friend, what do I do? What do I do? She gets impatient. She digs them up. Here they were about a centimeter below the dirt, just getting ready to come through. You never know what's around the corner.
And that's for
you
sure.
You never know how it's going to work. You know, ups, downs, ins, outs. You just stay on your path and go, and that's
so
for everybody.
So guess what? It's getting warmer. Jim has great deals.
Yes.
You could be that next player.
Absolutely. We've got some running around guys getting recruited.
Give them the phone number.
330-766-6790. Call us. Have a few openings. Things are filling up fast, but we'll always try to accommodate any way we can.
Yes, we can.
We're open 7 days a week. So, you know, speed, throwing, fielding, catching, outfield, whatever you need, we got.
You can't get better by playing in just the games.
You can't do it playing video games and thinking that simulates it. You know what? Before we go, Got to run some people off. DNR Audio, Cafe 422, Levy Steel, Gata Trucking, and a new one, our good friend D-Mark Livingston from Walker Dunlop. Appreciate all your support. Hopefully we'll talk to you guys soon.